I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. Hello, how are you? What would you say to that question, really? Are you having a good day? I hope so. And if you are not, this episode is for you. And if you're having a really good day, bookmark or save this for when you're not, because we're all human, right? We don't always have a really good day, despite what Instagram or Facebook says. This episode is all about how to have a really good day. Honestly, one of the things I noticed in the past year, and it's likely the result of the pandemic, is the number of people who are struggling. I saw it in my own coaching business. I can see it in the conversations with people. It's very normal to struggle, and I think that's really important to note. You are not alone if you have bad days. Aren't you amazed how they can just come upon you? I mean, we are very emotionally driven. But I am a huge fan of feeling good. I'm a huge fan of following your joy, getting in touch with your joy. I wrote a book on it called Soul Prescription, 101 Ways to Find Joy, Meaning, and Fulfillment. And after going through the journey with my mother's decline in health, I realized how badly I could actually feel. So I was so determined to make sure I felt good despite everything going on around me. And we all have periods in our lives like that, don't we? So I found ways to get in touch with that joy because I had to. I didn't want to feel bad. It's just the most draining and exhausting feeling, isn't it? So as a coach and an author, I want to teach people ways that they can feel good. You know, a lot of life is emotional. It can be just so blah sometimes, and it can really take you under. It can really overwhelm and really wreck your day. I've had those days, and maybe you have had them too, where you start out feeling great, but then it shifts, and something, maybe you start to feel bad, and then it shifts again, and you feel really good. And you think, how did I get so deep and dark or in that spiral thought process? Or why can't I feel so good now? And perhaps I should have been a researcher or a psychologist, because I like to examine what was happening that created the shift between not feeling good and then feeling good. You know, why do you feel good 1 minute and then not the next? So what changed? Something changed. And I thought I'd take this opportunity to chat with you about some ways that you can have a really good day. 7 ways, in fact. And so one of the very first ways to have a really good day is to choose a different perspective, right? Sometimes the reason we have a really bad day is because we woke up with the wrong perspective or holding a perspective about something that doesn't make us feel good. Can't that happen? I mean, it can taint the whole darn day. And often what we need is just a different vantage point or a lens or a filter through which to look at our day. Or maybe it's a problem that's causing us to feel not so great. And this is one of the most powerful things I learned in coaching. You can use the power of perspective to change how you're thinking, to solve a problem. And I remember the moment, the session that we were in where I learned about perspective. The coach asked what we were learning that moment, and she was trying to coach us to what we were learning, and it was all about perspective. And I raised my hand, and I said, it's all about the power of perspective. And she says, right, tattoo that on your butt, because it's something that you're going to need your entire life. And as a coach, it's something that a tool I often use to help people change how they're thinking about something, right? You know, perhaps you are bummed because you're feeling stuck about what to do next in your life. So your current perspective is stuck. And if you continue to look at it from that perspective, how can anything really change? So when you stay in a stuck perspective, it is like a wall a few inches from your face. You can't see around it, over it, or through it. But what if you chose a different perspective? For example, what if we looked at your life from the perspective of possibility? What about the perspective of fun and excitement? Or the perspective of creativity? What if we looked at your life from the perspective of opportunity? Let's say you're trying to figure out what to do next in your life, for example, like retirement. What is the next phase? That's something that people often struggle with. And if you use the perspective of possibility to brainstorm different ideas, that'll help get the flow going about what is actually possible. And this is where you can be outlandish. I never want people to edit their brainstorming. Have fun. It is when you get some ideas flowing that real possibility comes into view, right? But it's only because you've decided to explore possibility rather than staying stuck and talk about how stuck you are and how stuck stinks, you know? If you use the perspective of creativity, for example, to figure out what's next for you, again, it's brainstorming and allowing what gifts you might have to offer the world. And let the creative silliness flow. You never know what might spark an idea. And as I said, I never want people to edit. Even if they're in a brainstorming session in a group, it's really important that all ideas can land, no matter how outrageous or silly they are, because creativity is very fleeting and it's like a little bubble. If you poke your finger in it, it'll bust very easily. So we have to protect those creative ideas, and especially when we're trying to find new ways to look at our life. Another perspective, as I said, you could look at your life from one of fun and excitement to help you think about what would be really fun to do next. Sometimes we're just too serious and practical, which clouds our ability to see what is possible. Now, there's all sorts of perspectives you can take when you are trying to move yourself from a stuck position or a not feeling good position. So consider some of these other perspectives. Humor. One of my favorite ways to look at life is through humor. Sometimes I may have an incident or a situation happen to me, and I think, it could be maybe embarrassing or, I don't know, whatever this, however I feel about it, not feeling amazing about it. But humor always makes me laugh. I think about sometimes when I'm going through a difficult situation or an event, I always think about how funny this is going to be later when I can get to tell it to somebody. And that shifts my perspective right away. Another perspective you can try on is openness, the perspective of easy. What's easy right now? Well, that's especially when you're trying to get the next step. What would be the next step for me? What would be the easy thing to do? Because sometimes we can make a mountain out of a molehill, can't we? Another perspective is risk-taking or adventures. What would be an adventurous thing I could do right now? So if you want to have a really good day, think about changing your perspective. And even if you're not having a bad day and you want to change things up, try on any of these perspectives to shift your energy, to make yourself laugh, to make yourself just, think about your life in a different perspective, in a different way. There's so much power in perspective. So if you want to have a really good day, try that. Another tool in my toolkit for having a really good day is to ask this question: what is working well? The stories we tell ourselves matter. So much of our life is dependent upon the inner dialogue that we have running. And I really feel that a lot of the reasons why we have bad days is because of poor self-talk. And sometimes that self-talk can turn into self-abuse. You know what I mean. To have a really good day, focus on what is working well in your life. When I have shared this philosophy of focusing on what's working well in social media in the past, it always gets a positive response. And I think that's because we need reminders to shift to a more positive outlook. And sometimes all it takes is a simple reminder. It's a reminder to stop it. Stop thinking that way. And sometimes we just need someone to kind of snap us out of it and shift our thinking to go, right, why am I going down this path? If things are overall not going your way right now, you may have that, maybe just some things aren't working out. That's the way sometimes life is. But always try to focus on what is working well, even if it's one small thing that matters. Maybe it was one good conversation you had that day. Maybe you won a free coffee. It could be anything. And I would focus on that one good thing to get your mind out of that dark space and to get that good feeling back in. Because the philosophy of focusing on what is working well reminds me of the law of attraction, if you're familiar with that. And I assume a lot of the people that listen to this is my crowd, they probably know law of attraction. And if you remember back in episode 183 with Michael Lozier, who teaches law of attraction, and he wrote a book, Law of Attraction, was on Oprah, and she really supported his book and the his style of writing. And I agree, it's very easy to understand law of attraction the way he explains it. So back in that episode 183, he taught us how to attract more of what you want in your life. And you can't get more abundance by focusing on what you don't have. Law of attraction just doesn't work that way. So if we want to feel really good and have a really good day, we have to focus on something that is really good, something that's working well. And you know what begins to happen? It snowballs, right? And that's the law of attraction. The whole idea is that if you have that one thought, then you attract another thought that's like that, and it keeps picking up speed. But if you keep shifting out of gear, so to speak, from being positive to negative, you can't get that momentum going. But if you focus on that one small thing and then you can find another good thing that's happening, the good momentum picks up speed and suddenly you feel differently. You have quelled that negative energy. So focus on what is going well, make it a practice, and watch how you start to have really good days. And this takes a little bit of focus and practice, but that's what Law of Attraction is all about. And I know you've had this in your life. If you've had good things, you're on a roll, all the good things start happening. And I think that's why. So the number two way of having a really good day is to ask yourself, what is working well? And answer it. The number three way to have a really good day is curiosity. Now, as a coach, I love this one. You know, it's leading with curiosity. You know, because as a coach, curiosity creates a lot of self-reflection. You know, coaching is based on the premise of asking questions to draw out that self-reflection. So if you're not having a good day, get really curious about your current state. Ask yourself questions such as, what is going on in my life right now that might be contributing to my feeling not well? All right, that's a very, very good place to start. Just, what's the current state of affairs? Then I said, how do I want to feel? You know, what can I do for myself right now to improve how I feel? And I get it. Sometimes we just have to honor the state we're in if you're not feeling well. Like, grief is a really good example. We need to allow ourselves to have space to feel those feelings. But what I'm referring to here is really those bad days that are really self-created, you know, and curiosity creates shifts. Asking ourselves questions can help us get unstuck from our current state. And another way to use curiosity to take it to the next level is to really write down your answers to your curious questions. Sometimes when you write, you're literally allowing all of the pain and ickiness to flow onto the page. It's almost like a way to air it out. You're putting it on the line to air out like laundry. And what I find is that sometimes those negative feelings just want to be acknowledged and then they dissipate. And I think it's because, you know, we take their power away by exposing them. And from my work as a leadership coach, I can tell you that curiosity works in creating shifts. When I ask those powerful questions to a client, I can see the shift happening. The shift happens because it allows them to see another possibility that they haven't thought of before. It's almost like you knock loose the thinking, right? There may be many paths that you can choose, and I'm asking them to come over here onto this path and consider this. So be curious. Use it as a tool. It is very powerful, and it can help you to have a very, very good day. The number fourth way of having a really good day is through gratitude. Now, gratitude may seem like an overused suggestion, but there's a reason why. It's because it works. And I will keep going back to the darkest moment in my life, which is when my mother was declining in health and close to death. And I'm always referring to this because it was a very difficult time. And I had to figure out how to live and work and be there for my family, despite, you know, what was happening. And I remember truly relying on gratitude for the very first time. I mean, I'd heard about gratitude journals from watching Oprah and just people talking about gratitude. But I remember really experiencing gratitude at a very deep level for that first time when I was going through that difficult time in my life. And I can remember walking outside and listening, truly listening to the birds sing and being so appreciative of the beautiful sound. You know, I was so grateful for a sunny day, not a rainy one. I was so grateful for an individual moment. There were times when I felt like my day was divided into 1,000 moments and all I could do was take the day moment by moment. And that gratitude played a very useful part in being able to get through a difficult day. So if you are having such a great day, use gratitude as a tool. It's tried and true. That's why it works. And I don't have to tell you, Because I imagine that a majority of the people that listen to this podcast understand and appreciate the value of gratitude. I'm sure it's not new to you. And no doubt that you have a gratitude practice, whether it is journaling gratitude or just noticing and appreciating. And when you express gratitude, it is connecting to the greater world around you. It has a grounding effect, which really tells you that you're not alone. You're connected to this world. You matter. Your life matters. So the next time that you're feeling like you're having an off day, remember, gratitude is in your life toolkit. I have no doubt that gratitude will shift you into having a really good day. Now, the fifth way to have a really good day is connect with nature. I think nature is a universal healer. Some people may say they don't like outdoors, but the older I get, I realize I find a lot of people like being outside in nature. And if you don't, I suggest you give it a chance. Nature has a way of calming me and anchoring me. And also connecting to nature ties in with my own desire to be a seeker. It's like I can see God in things. You know, I'm amazed at how birds can fly in a huge group and dive and turn on a dime without running into each other. I mean, it's like they're moving with one mind. How do they do that? There's so many amazing things in life that make me wonder what that's about. And when my kids were younger, they used to go to a camp called Hammond River Survival Camp, where they taught them outdoor skills like building a fire and building a fort. And the kids called it Survivor Camp. It was about how to survive in the wilderness. And maybe your kids or grandkids went there. I know a lot of children did. And there's one thing I know for sure my kids absolutely loved about that place. And that's the fact they got to spend the entire day outdoors, rain or shine. And I know so many parents who absolutely love that camp too, because it was probably the only outdoor time our children really got. I mean, you know, our kids were these Game Boy kids and, you know, they just moved from one indoor place to another indoor place. And I think really kind of harkens back to our own time as kids when we used to spend a lot more time outdoors. I mean, I remember my mother kind of locking me outside is like, go play. You know, I really wanted to watch like Another World or something, you know, you got to be older. But I remember my mother wanting me to be outside, and I didn't really appreciate being outdoors so much in those days as I got older. But as a young child, I loved it, you know, making, you know, mud pies and playing in puddles. And that's what our children were doing at this survivor camp. And they were just lit up at the end of the day and had such an amazing time. And we know the power of fresh air and just being tired and dirty at the end of the day as a sign of success. And so I saw that effect with my kids, and they always have such fond memories of that camp. And I think, you know, I often wonder, I think, what's going to happen when they have children? I hope they see and appreciate the value of taking children outdoors and spending time outdoors. I mean, as a family, we spent a lot of time camping. So they have a lot of great memories there. And I think it was just fun to be outside. So there's no question in my mind that connecting to nature is good for the soul. You know, when my kids were playing outside, they were happy. And when I'm outside, I realize I'm happy. We have a lake property that we have a trailer on. And so it's not a place that we can stay year round, but we spend summertime there and we spend all of our time outdoors, even if it's cold. And it's amazing how when I'm at my house, you know, I open the door, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's cold, I'm not going outside. But when I'm at the lake property, I can't wait to spend time outside. So I have spent many days sitting under an awning in the rain, hearing the rain trickle down or pound on the ground. It's just soul fulfilling. And that's one of the reasons why I like going to this lake property, because I'm never inside. I'm always outside connecting with nature, whether I'm just puttering around picking up leaves, I have a few plants. I can spend the whole day just walking around and puttering outside. And it's no mistake that I am at my happiest when I'm in union with Mother Nature. So does nature play a role when you have a good day? You bet. So if you haven't had a chance to connect with nature lately, maybe that's a missing link. Maybe a little bit more time. You know, when you, especially wintertime, you dress properly, you can be outside a long time. There's just something that just helps light you up. And after this podcast recording, I'm going for a walk and it's snowing out and I can't wait. Number six. Another way to have a really good day is to do what you love. Now, that may seem really obvious, but this is not always an easy thing for people to do, especially those who live busy lives, or even if we think we're busy, right? There might not be as much room as you would like for the things that you love. You may have a really busy job and love reading, but can never seem to get to it. Perhaps you love painting, but it got squeezed out because you have a lot of volunteering and family and church and commitments. You know, one of the greatest things that you can do for yourself is to make space for the things that you love. And I know I have a really good day when I get to do the things I love to do. And I have purposely made space for things I love. At first, I didn't think I had time, which is the biggest lie we tell ourselves. But you have to start with something really small. And for example, I started with reading books. And I was always a reader and lover of books. But in my adult years, that just fell away thinking I didn't have time. It felt like you didn't have time. And I think that's a typical story. But I started with a reading habit of 10 pages a day, and that was enough to get some momentum going that I ended up reading 25 books a year. And this year I have a goal of 35 books. So when I stick to my reading habit, which normally occurs in the morning over coffee, I feel like I'm starting my day off well. And it reminds me of David Chilton's book from the 90s, if you remember this, called The Wealthy Barber. And it's where he encourages people to pay themselves first when they are saving for retirement, right? To start this early, and then the idea is that it compounds over time. And I kind of see the doing the things that you love in the same way. Pay yourself first and you'll have a really good day. You know, do the things that you want to do, make time for them, and that'll pay you dividends. So I encourage you to find small ways to bring back in the things that you love. If you have time to have a morning coffee at your table before you go to work, maybe it's reading that you want to do. Maybe it's writing. I can tell you from writing a book that you don't have to go away to a retreat or to a camp in the woods and isolate yourselves to write an entire book. A book can get written on the backs of napkins and scraps of paper and little bits at a time. And just like David Chilton's idea of 10% and then it compounds, writing a book or reading a bunch of books or doing a workout, all of that stuff compounds. But you have to make space for it, and beginning small is an easy way to do that. And I encourage you to find those small ways to fit things in that you love, and I guarantee you that'll be a really good recipe for having a really good day and, dare I say, a good life. And lastly, but not least, connect with people that influence you positively. Who you spend time with will influence whether you have a good day or not. And if you haven't heard this before, lean in closely. Pay attention and maybe get a notepad and pen. You are the average of the five people you spend your time with. Now, this could be good news or bad news depending on who you spend your time with. Truly, write down who are the five people that you spend the most amount of time with. And I'm just not talking friends here. This also includes relatives. It can be anybody. But do these five people positively impact you? And if not, what do you want to do about it? I get that family is not necessarily, you know, people that you can change out so easily like you could someone who's, you know, that's outside your family that's not supporting you. But there is something called distance, right? You could put distance between you and the other person. And, you know, ever experience a really great day and then somebody's energy shifts it? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to feel good if you're immersed in negative energy. And I'm not talking about people who are bad people here. There are a lot of good people who do not even realize that their default is negative. I know lots of people who can be negative without realizing it. I mean, I've had some relatives like this. Wouldn't matter what you said, it would be followed up with a negative comment. It mostly sounds like yeah, but, or some statement to make you fearful or place doubt. I mean, it comes from a good place, but it's not helpful and it's actually draining and exhausting. Maybe you can relate. And when I was younger and spent time with people who are negative or dramatic, I didn't realize it. It looked like normal behavior. And when you're a kid, how would you know? This is where the conditioning begins. And one of the things that happens as I get older is that I'm more aware of that behavior. And there is a greater divide between who I want to be and the low negative energy that lurks around me. The negativity, drama, and toxicity begins to stand out like a sore thumb as I become awake, conscious, and aware. Can you relate to this? Right? It feels like the great divide. And I suppose it's part of awakening. It's part of just wanting to be a better person. It's part of just connecting to my highest self, to the highest good. And I recognize that positivity and good energy goes further than dark, low energy. You know, so overall, it is a good practice to spend time with people who have uplifting, positive energy, people who encourage you, right? Who you spend time with matters. No doubt about it. And there you have it. Seven ways to have a really good day. I always say that feeling good is only one shift away. And I hope one of these ideas helps shift you into a really great space. And if you're already having a really great day, go enjoy it. Have an awesome day.
That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana_Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.